I please take your seats and we'll try to get started? All right. Good morning. This is a meeting of the Finance Committee. This is our third work session on the FY18 budget. Can I get a motion to approve the agenda?
Second.
Second, please. Seeing no objection, the agenda is approved as amended. Approval of minutes. Can I get a motion to approve our minutes from earlier in this month?
Second.
Second. Thank you. Minutes are approved as amended. So the one item on our agenda is as follows. This is the third and final Finance Committee work session on the fiscal year 2018 budget, and staff will provide additional information on Metro's non-personnel expenses. This follows December's session on ridership and revenue, and the earlier session this month on personnel costs. I would like to remind everyone that we have another important budget discussion scheduled, the public hearing on January 30th, with an open house beginning at 4:30, and the formal hearing beginning here at 5 p.m. Following the hearing, the board will review the testimony received both at the hearing and through our other outreach efforts as it makes its final deliberations on the Metro FY18 budget. So I encourage everyone to submit their comments either at the hearing or at www.wmata.com/budget in order to assist the board in its decision-making process. With that, I'll turn the floor over to Mr. Anosecki, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Webster, our budget guru, for their presentation and our subsequent discussion. Gentlemen.
Good morning, and thank you, Mr. Chairman. Today's budget workshop session, as the Chairman said, will focus on the General Manager's proposal for the non-personnel budget for FY18. As with previous work sessions, answers to the questions relating to the non-personnel budget were provided to the committee prior to today's conversations. When you look at the non-personnel budget as a whole, it makes up 29% of Metro's $1.8 billion operating budget. In terms of core elements, there are really three key cost groups that make up the non-personnel budget. Starting with contract services, which makes up 55% of the budget. The remaining two items are materials, supplies, and energy, which collectively make up for energy 22% and for materials and supplies 23%. Those three core components make up the non-personnel budget. Slide 4. I should start by saying that this slide has been updated to include reimbursable cost estimates that were excluded in the previous version, which was distributed to the committee. The value of expected expenses in terms of the under the forecast column for FY17 is $34 million, and that includes four items. The key one is the DC circulator, which is about $22 million. You have neutral host and you have security grants that make up the remaining items that were, again, excluded. But in the aggregate, that's $34 million of expected
expenses. Where do those DC circulator costs appear in the various expense categories under the forecast 2017 column?
They appear primarily in two categories, in services as well as in fuel. The other ones are primarily in personnel because they are, for example, the security grants are all personnel related. Comparatively, the expected reimbursable value for FY18, again, which was already incorporated in the proposed budget, is $30 million. So the change, as you look at this, the change in non-personal expenses in the aggregate actually fall into two categories, again, as we discussed in the past. Mostly in contractual services as well as the materials and supplies, which will go into greater detail in the succeeding pages.
Mr. Anosecki, before you go on, just to explain. explain for the benefit of the board members as well as the media. The column that you have added, forecast 2017, could you explain how that column is different than the column to its left, budget 2017?
Yes. The budget 2017, obviously, is the budget that this committee approved.
That was not last spring.
That's correct.
Thank you.
As part of the last set of conversations, there was an expression to provide some sense of what the expected year-end numbers are going to be, and that's why this column was added.
Okay, and that's based on results for the first 6 months, the first half of the fiscal year 2017?
As well as some projections of what we're going to look at the end of the fiscal year.
Thank you. I wanted to give that benefit to board members of the committee as well.
Thank you for that guidance. Appreciate it. If you look at slide 5, this slide shows the relative values of the non-personnel budget across the last 4 fiscal years. I think what's clear here is that the relative values have stayed relatively constant, with, again, contractual services being the most significant piece. Even as you look at this slide, paratransit services has been taken out, but in the real budget, it is part of contractual services, but it has been provided here to just provide additional transparency in terms of what constitutes those budgets. But overall, the growth that you see here reflect additional activities, new facilities, and obviously the initiatives, you know, towards safety and reliability. But within this cost structure, it continues to reflect the same level of the same types of expenses for the most part, even though there's been growth in those expenses. When you look at non-personnel from a functional perspective, slide 6 breaks through, again, in an attempt to provide additional clarity, breaks it down in terms of the things and the services that are actually provided and that are paid for by non-personnel services. Again, contractual services is the biggest, but again, here we've broken out paratransit, actually showing you what paratransit does and what it pays for, which essentially are the services that are provided privately by contract service providers. It provides for eligibility activities. It provides for vehicle maintenance, training, and obviously the payment systems that are associated with that. About 23% of the non-personnel services actually go to facilities, stations, and system maintenance for things, again, like custodial services across the system, both bus and rail, garages, things like landscaping, and obviously the basic facilities maintenance itself, both in terms of the structures and the other services that are needed to maintain the infrastructure. The rest of the budget here go to things like IT, obviously the technical system, the IT support systems, financial management, including banking fees, the fees that we pay for the Fair Media systems. The DC circulate, again, is included here, even though that's fully reimbursed by the District of Columbia. All the rest of the reimbursements are also in here. Obviously, you have both administration, things like HR, legal, and procurement, as well as engineering contracts. They all fall within this particular category. But when you look at the growth from FY17 to FY18, this slide, slide 7, describes or focuses in on the key drivers for those growths. Again, starting with paratransit services. In this case, it's going up by $6 million, driven by both service level needs as well as expectations around what we're seeing with respect to abilities ride. As you know, the history here has been one of increasing growth, and obviously with growing population, aging population, we expect with some changes that those will continue to be the case. We've also have $7 million of additional training expenses related to compliance activities, most of which are FTE, and obviously that ties to the preceding conversations earlier today. We have a set of activities and requirements that has been fully identified with FTA, and we're making sure that those are fully funded as we go into the next fiscal year. But the budget also, again, includes additional funds, in this case, $60 million for both audit and financial system improvement, for enhancing radio systems, station lighting, escalator reliability. Again, the same things that we've been talking through over the last few years, including drug testing and fuel systems improvement. And lastly, there's $4 million, again, as we look for alternative ways to support and to maintain both existing and new facilities, some of which will require additional resources to maintain, given the systems that are in them. With respect to materials and supplies, the difference or the growth between the two fiscal years is $36 million. The key one in this particular category, though, is the $23 million that we've included to support parts procurement to maintain rail cars in the facilities. As this board is aware, we have over the last two fiscal years used operating funds to support these particular initiatives. But there's to the extent that funds are in the capital program or provided through the capital program, then this particular resource or this particular funding will not be necessary from the operating budget in order to continue to maintain those services. And lastly, this category is $30 million for reliability improvements, again, to support all of the work that are being done in the system to maintain both tracks and systems to improve reliability. With respect to energy, on the next slide, overall, the energy cost will go down by about $60 million next year. What you're looking at this slide is really the movements between both types of fuel and pricing and volume that are, again, some of which are driven by the proposed reductions in service, but also by what we expect to see in the marketplace, as well as where we have been able to lock in a price for the next fiscal year with respect to diesel fuel. But in the aggregate, it goes down $60 million. And when you look at the next page, you'll see that the majority of that is actually coming from the proposed service reductions versus what we are doing with respect to either the lock that we've, the hedge that we've implemented, or the price and fluctuation that we expect from the marketplace. But on the next slide, overall, the savings that we've discussed as when this budget was presented in November, through the some of the conversations we've had over the last few years that reflect some savings that are already built into the budget itself. The first one, as you can see from this slide, is the right-sizing savings that had in the aggregate of $50 million of savings from bus and rail. Again, I spoke a little bit earlier about the savings from diesel fuel and the reductions in premiums and, again, the management actions that resulted in about $5 million of savings. But when you look at the next page, you will see that when I refer to the $60 million savings in energy here, you see between proportion and fuel is actually 12 of that 16. Obviously, there in terms of materials, there's an additional $3 million that go to the $5 million that I spoke to in the preceding pages, coming specifically from the right sizing of bus and rail services. With that, Mr. Chairman, I will take questions.
Thank you, Mr. Asaki. Let me just start the ball rolling with a question on slide 8, the rail car parts issue, right, that you had just mentioned before. I think what I heard you say is that this $23 million in rail car parts can either be funded under the operating budget or under the capital budget for FY18. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And are these numbers in your capital budget as well, so that $23 million is already in the capital budget for purchase of rail car parts?
Yes.
Yes, so that the policy issue for the board is deciding where to take the $23 million out.
That's correct.
We can either deduct it from the operating budget or we can deduct it from the capital budget.
That's
correct.
That's correct.
Very good. Thank you. Let me ask one more question.
As I indicated, it is in both, obviously. It is not, in the aggregate, it will not be new money. It will be, as you indicated, a choice in terms of, you know, you're funding this from capital or you're funding it from operating.
Right.
But
if we delete it from the operating budget, you're still going to be able to purchase the $23 million in rail car parts under the capital budget.
Assuming the capital budget is approved. Right.
Right. Okay. Let me ask one more question, and then we'll move around a bit. I guess you're talking about paratransit here on the first page of this 7. And this is obviously a very big item since it costs $107 million, and you're showing a change of $6 million. But then in your description of it, I guess there's two things that stick out here. One has to do with the Ability Ride program, and the other has to do with something called an additional contractor-operated facility. So could you address those two topics? Are you now projecting less savings from the Ability Ride program, which is the pilot program for paratransit in Montgomery and Prince George's County? And if so, how much is that? And second of all, what is this additional contractor-operated facility that's causing an increase in cost?
Go ahead.
First, in the Abilities Ride, the FY17 budget assumed implementation about halfway through the year, and initial savings from that of approximately $6 million. Program has not been implemented yet. Our forecast for the potential savings next year has been taken down accordingly. There is potential for that to save more in the future, but from an implementation standpoint, because the program's not already underway, we've taken a more conservative approach.
Before you go on to the other issue, so what is now the implementation date for Ability Ride? Is it still sometime in FY17, or has it been put off to FY18 after July 1st?
I don't have the dates right here with you. I mean, the process is ongoing. I do not want to speculate in terms of when it will be implemented, but we've made some assumptions. We can provide you that information later.
What is the nature of the delay? I thought we're still in negotiation with various contractors on proposals at this point.
It's still in the procurement process,
and that's
basically what's driving it.
So you haven't got to the point where you're actually negotiating with individual contractors as yet, correct? So the other issue has to do with what is the additional contractor operator facility?
The other piece is related to the assumptions that were in the budget about the contractors' fixed costs and rates. It had assumed basically one facility. And the contract is subsequently modified to include an additional facility. It has to do with coverage and location of the facility relative to the service area. So the rates for the contract increased relative to our previous projections.
So this is an increase on the Ability Rides part of the paratransit, or is this?
No, on the base paratransit contract.
Paratransit. Yes. So this affects the other jurisdictions as well?
Correct, yes.
D.C. or Virginia?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. Mr. Corcoran.
Dennis and Thomas, going back to slide 8, the $23 million and the $17 million, are those new expenses or is it really a transfer from the capital to the operating budget?
These are not new expenses. These are current expenses, obviously, in some respects. The additional initiatives that are, again, supporting the rail car rehabilitation efforts, but these, for the most part, are not new expenses. It is simply where they're being funded. If you recall, the reason why it was shifted to the operating budget to begin with was because of the delay associated with federal procurement rules. And in order to fast track the procurement of these parts, We shifted them to the operating budget, which, again, consistent to what this board approved a couple of years ago to allow for an accelerated effort in rehabilitating rail cars and providing services that our customers are demanding.
So we are not really seeing a $36 million increase in parts and materials. It's budgeting it in a different location.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, so Dennis, since we made this move on the rail cars.
Just so we could clear up one thing.
Sure.
I just mentioned 36. It's only the 23.
Right.
The pot.
13 is additional because of the efforts that we're doing to increase river liability.
Thanks, Paul. Since we made the shift back to operating on the rail car parts, does that mean that we can use local funds versus federal funds and accelerate procurement and get around Buy America and all kinds of other federal requirements?
So the reason why we put it in the operating budget to begin with is because you can use local funds and therefore use a different procurement strategy. If you shift it back to the capital funds, again, as long as it's paid for exclusively by local funds, then you can use an alternative procurement strategy. But if it's not, then we are back to square one with respect to those federal procurement guidelines. Thank you.
Ms. Cormier?
Yes. First of all, good question, because I had the same one on paratransit. I had a question on slide 7, operation and support maintenance 15. It looks like the things listed, security improvements, alcohol tests, is a combination of perhaps unanticipated requirements and existing. Is that correct?
Yes. Obviously, most of the activities going on in operations, mm-hmm. Particularly those, the new ones designed, again, to focus on rail car reliability, are new. For example, McKinsey helped, took a look at some of the things going on there and made some suggestions, and some of those recommended suggestions obviously are funded under this particular initiative to make sure, again, that we have rail cars available to meet service demand. But that's just an example of all a list of things that are paid for or scheduled to be paid for under this particular.
But there was, you said expansion of drug alcohol testing. This was unexpected, unanticipated? It was expanded to a new group of employees?
So with respect to drug and alcohol testing, obviously there are federal requirements in terms of what those guidelines are.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a recent, finding in terms of, you know, our performance related to that. So there's additional funding here to help meet that particular standard, which includes all the contractors, not just employees. That again relates to the safety conversations that took place today. I mean, those are all of the things, including obviously roof. But we have a list of all the things that are in here.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them, again, are old things or current things. But some of them are totally new. But some of the old ones, including alcohol testing, drug and alcohol testing, actually are being enhanced in some respects. So that's why it was explained the way it was.
I guess my question was why it hadn't been budgeted.
They were budgeted.
But this was an increase in
correct.
What we had budgeted. So unexpected. Well, one other question. I think I know the answer, but I'll ask it anyway. The same line, maintenance of financial system is included here. And then two lines up, you have $5 million for financial management support and audit readiness. Was that strictly devoted to the effort we made last year on having a clean audit, the $5 million?
Or
was it separate from the financial management maintenance?
So it is part of it. I mean, some of that was in the budget for last year.
Mm-hmm.
But what part of the findings from the audit team and from McKinsey and EY was also the need to reform the financial system itself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that effort, you know, starts from, from an evaluation of what we have,
mm-hmm.
and depending on the recommendations to full implementation. This is to support some of the recommended changes that will be undertaken in FY18. This does not pay for the full implementation yet. we recall some of the conversations were that that entire effort will be significant. And so part of what you're seeing here is both additional resources towards that effort, continued resources for the audit process, the audit readiness, and the fact that, for example, the external audit team will be doing far more work during the course of a year compared to what they were doing last year, again, in an attempt to maintain timely audit requirements and the board's direction that they start doing work instead of coming at the end of the year.
But the $5 million is distinct and separate from what's been included in the 15.
The way right. Presented, yes.
Still not sure. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Dennis, on slide 10, the first bullet there, the $15 million for right-sizing bus and rail service in the proposed that's been incorporated into the proposed budget, has that figure changed over time given the change in service hours that will be coming forward, or is that as presented earlier?
That figure has not changed has not from changed. The general manager's proposal.
Okay. Thank you.
I just wanted to, there's been a lot of discussion of the paratransit services, and this board has had discussions in the past about paratransit services and what's going to happen with it. And there have been various times at which we have done various things that have reduced the growth in the service. But at the last major discussion we have, I think we came away from there with a understanding that it was going to grow. Albeit more slowly than it would have had we not made changes to it, simply because of demographics. And that a growth in paratransit services does not necessarily mean that the efforts that the board has made to control that growth are not working.
That's correct.
It simply means that there are certain forces like demographics that we are not going to be able to overcome.
So we have no alternative facts here to talk about. Mr. Evans.
Thank you. I was asked to find this out, and I just don't know the answers to any of this. We apparently have a photography office, and the photography office, was it defunded? And the photography office apparently keeps the archives of all the photos from the beginning of Metro, those old photos in the tunnels when it was being built. And if it indeed has been defunded, how much money are we talking about, and what happens to all the archives that we have?
It has been. We can come up with the numbers and provide them to you. And basically, we are taking a look how do we, in effect, archive that, particularly electronically, because a lot of it's not electronic. There's old photos from 40 years ago. So we are looking through how do we save that and not lose that resource for the future.
So where would they be housed? What would happen to them?
That's what we're working through.
You're working
do we
through
basically
that.
do we electronically, you know, put that on some okay. electronic format so that we have it for the future? We
don't have what does it, I've never heard of the photography office before. What did that do?
Basically, apparently it's been something here for decades that basically we had a photographer and we recorded things. Some of it was used for obviously for engineering related, you know, it's sort of part of the as-built almost in effect of what you see. Part of it was just the historical record. So it's just a combination of that apparently we've done for decades, but it's been eliminated.
Okay. How much money are we talking about?
I don't know. I've got to
Oh, you're going to get – you don't know Dennis often?
No. Not on the top of all my right. head, so.
That's all I got.
Photography office. Yeah, could we take a look at slide 5? So here – the growth of the services expenditure from 2015 to the proposed budget's 72%. So that's obviously the, you know, the biggest cost driver in these. As we look at these categories, what's the kind of underlying rationale for that?
The key drivers are the areas that I described a little bit earlier, which again goes to contract service. These are privately contracted services to Metro, and they are a function of the obviously the service level for the most part. Okay. For example, paratransit is part of. I'm backing out paratransit. Okay, so
it's 72% without paratransit.
Right.
So
the elements for those changes obviously go to. For I can tell you that between the last 2 years, one of the key areas has been the audit readiness efforts. If you recall, the efforts to go through the FTA review process was a significant one. The KPMG contract itself was significant. The efforts that we go through to recover funds from FTA required the retention of external support to make that happen.
Tens of millions of dollars?
If you recall, we've spent the expenses to recover those has been close to $10 million. And this is a number that I've shared with this board.
Okay, that's one. I mean, but we're talking about moving off of a base of 108 to... We're going up $70 million.
The key thing, and I can break down, I don't have the details with me, but if you take out inflation, let's say 2% inflation each year, if we take that out itself, the key drivers that have driven from the financial side, other than the operational needs, has been the compliance efforts that we've engaged in the last 3-4 years. Those have been significant, and most of those have been while some of them have been on the capital side, the operating budget has borne the residual impact of those changes. The financial piece that I described is also another one, but I can provide you with the details in terms of what has driven this, but they are all driven by, again, these are not WMATA employees providing this.
Right. Yeah, I would like the detailed breakdown. And then along with that, do you guys keep track of the FTEs for contracted workers, not vendors, but staff augmentation?
Yeah.
What's our running number with regard to staff augmentation, and would I see a big increase between 16 and 17?
We will provide you with that because that will be part of the contracted services.
Okay, thanks.
Can we just stay on this a minute? Just clarify something based on your colloquy with Mr. Dormjo. My recollection from our conversation with Work Products is that we're sort of engaged in an apples and oranges comparison here, in that the first 3 years, 15, 16, and 17, do not include reimbursable expenses, while FY18 does include reimbursable expenses. Am I correct about that, that we have to keep that in mind in comparing these year-to-year growths in various categories of non-personnel expenses?
No, for purposes of this presentation, we have included the reimbursables. So this
that included reimbursables in 15, 16,
correct.
And 17. Right. So the growth is real as across both the WMATA system of expenses as well as those are being reimbursed for DC Circulator and Silverline Phase 2 and things like that.
Yes.
Okay. I want to go back to slide number 4. What I noticed when reviewing this is that for the current fiscal year, FY17, in your forecast numbers, you're showing roughly a $40 million decline in personnel expenses and about $25 million reduction in expenses overall. And so when I queried you and said, well, if the personnel expenses are now $1.27 million, shouldn't we use that as the base for calculating the savings into 18 of $27 million rather than the original $1.3 billion base? And you came back and said no, and then you gave me some numbers about 700 positions of being eliminated to date, and that sort of confused me, because I thought we had eliminated 500 positions in this budget year, FY17, and we were planning to eliminate another 500 positions under the FY18 budget, assuming that the board approved the reductions in services and the fare increases that went along with that. So I'm trying to understand where this figure of 700 positions comes from, and whether it represents sort of, quote, like an advanced pay down of the 500 for FY18, or whether we will effectively be reducing the workforce by 1,200 overall, 700 by the end of FY17 plus another 500 in FY18.
The general manager announced a reduction of 500 positions initially, which is essentially fully implemented. And after that, based on an evaluation of the financial environment, he announced an additional 200 positions, which we are in the process of eliminating at this point. But as part of his budget recommendation to the board, he suggested right-sizing bus and rail services that will result by itself in a 300-position reduction. So that was why the response to you phrased it that way, that this 700-position reduction, which I going on right now, have already been factored into the FY18 budget. The 300-position reduction decision will be based on what this board decides with respect to the service right-sizing, and that will, again, what has been built in, the ultimate decision will be based on what this board decides. But the 700 is already in place, and those are already factored into the projections and estimates for FY18.
All right. So don't you then want to revise these budget projections so we have a clear picture of where we will be and what will be saved for FY18? Because apparently we won't now be reducing FY18 personnel costs by $27 million. It'll be something less than that because we'll only reflect 300 rather than 500 positions. Is that correct? No.
No. The original expectation of what additional reductions we made in the FY18 budget was the 300 that were contingent on the service resizing. That number has not changed. And the 700 positions, 500 and 200, were already factored into the budget because the GM's direction was that staff need to do that and to do that immediately.
All right, so are you saying that the $27 million reduction still reflects the savings that will result from the 300 reduction?
That's correct.
Okay. I hear you. All right.
So, Mike, on that point, though, so if the board decides that it doesn't want to do some of the service reductions, there is a personnel cost tied to that, right? And so if we say we want to not do the headway issue, then all of a sudden the savings we're recognizing on the personnel becomes less.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay, just so everybody understands that.
Yes.
It's a change and then another change. Yes. So the cost is not just on the, you know, for that example, it's not just on the headways.
Right.
The cost is also on the personnel.
That's correct.
Not just propulsion.
Yes, exactly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In our conference call, Tom, I had asked for belt-tightening initiatives like reducing X, Y, and Z. Have you come back with any belt-tightening initiatives that the board, the committee needs to grapple with?
So included within the general manager's proposed budget are a number of decreases in various perhaps more discretionary activities, so things like travel, things where we have contained costs in the current fiscal year. We're continuing through throughout the year to examine opportunities to reduce costs or find efficiencies. I don't have a specific thing to bring forward today, but that is part of the commitment, certainly.
More specific, you know, with the public, you know, we're at a tight budget year. You know, are we going to paint the stations as often? Are we going to pick up the trash as often? You know, all those things need to be discussed. Okay.
Okay. Any other questions? I have 4 minutes. I'll take one more question. On slide 7, under rail reliability, one of the increases that you have there is, excuse me, a train prediction software. Could you sort of educate us on what is a train prediction software and what it does?
Sure. It's basically so that when you're on the platform and you see the minutes away from the train, is to get that more reliable. And there's different software that we're looking at to do that.
Okay, so it's not predicting the travel of the train by affecting the operation of the trains. It's really just reporting
to give
transmitting information yes. as to when the next train will show
yes.
up. And so this will take the form of. We'll be able to use the boards that are already on.
Yeah, it's just
platform, so it's just
giving you better data to give better
and better data.
Exactly.
Got it. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other questions, Spolger?
No.
Okay. Very good. Thank you very much. That completes our work today. As I said earlier, the next event will be the public hearing on November January 30th. And then the next meeting of this committee, if I can announce in advance in February, will not be the second Thursday, the normal day, but it will be on the board day in February, which will give staff some additional time to digest the results of the public hearing and decide whether any kind of revised budget is to be presented for FY18. So thank you very much.